is wider in scope and spectrum than most people have even begun to try to wrap their minds around. And I don't even know if it's possible for us in our current understanding to wrap our minds around. And that's not a slight on humanity. That is just, we're doing our best to try to make sense of this overall grand experiment that we are just a very small part of, and that these beings that our ancestors would have called gods, they are a small part of, and they are just one level above us on this spectrum, and there's levels above them.
Where did the blue avians come from? Have they told you?
They are from, I've asked them, where do you go when you're not here? And they have communicated that they go back to their density, their reality. And it's not a planet orbiting at the center of the galaxy. They don't use spaceships. These giant spheres are not ships that they inhabit. They are almost of what some would call, like, in the angelic realm. They're of the higher density spectrum. And
well, when you see them, they're physical.
Right. They take a physical appearance. They consciously appear and in a physical form here.
Is it a physical form that they want us to see, or is this actually what they look like? Is this, or is this something that doesn't offend us and freak us out, and, you know, we don't lose our minds when we see them, so to speak?
You know, I don't know what they originally looked like. They come from pure energy, and they're presenting themselves in this form for, I'm sure, a reason. I don't know what that reason is.
I don't want to sound trite here, but do they eat?
No.
They don't eat.
They don't go to the bathroom. They exist on another plane, on a higher plane, a pure energy plane.
Who else have they made themselves visible to here on Earth? Are you it, or are there others? Are there more Corey Goods out there?
No, well, there's no more Corey Goods out there, I hope. But they're, Gonzalez, they have been meeting with him at almost exactly the same time period that they started appearing to me. And there are other people that have not come forward that have been in physical contact. They do not communicate through channeling. They communicate with you first through dreams, and if you accept their invitation to communicate, then they appear to you in physical form. And they have a protocol that they use in introducing themselves to you. And
do they know about David?
Oh yeah.
And what do they think about David?
Well, I was instructed to keep working with David because he had a lot of understanding of things that I didn't. It appears that he has been in some sort of contact with this group.
Hold on. Hey, David, you can't type on the keyboard.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, somebody's typing.
that was me.
Okay, sorry. Are they cool with David and his approach and the way that he speaks to everybody? Or would they tell you maybe you need to run through somebody else?
Well, they have told me that at times that I needed to work with different people to help get the message out. That's why I started working with Dr. Sala. Dr. Sala, just like David, showed a very keen intellect and also vetted me and has been...
Dr. Sala of Exopolitics, right?
Yeah, Dr. Michael Sala.
Yes.
Dr. Michael Sala and David are the two main people that I've really trusted working with, and because they're neutral and they have a lot of complementing knowledge and experience, and all the information from David's books, all of the research he's done has come in extremely handy. There has been information that they have communicated to me, and I don't fully understand the full ramifications of, and I will tell David this is what they communicated, and because of his studies of not only the Law of One, some other materials, and all of his, prep work for his two books has put him in a place to where he has a lot of the scientific understanding and a good foundation to help disseminate this information in a responsible way.
Have they ever asked to speak to David directly? Or David, have they spoken to you directly?
I've been talking to him for 20 years. That's part of why I'm where I am in this thing.
And yeah. So back to Corey, have they ever said to you, okay, we need to talk to David? Do they ever use you as a conduit to get to David?
Or is I've delivered messages to David, and a lot of times it's of a personal nature. A lot of the information, like Gonzalez, a lot of the communications that happened between me and or the Blue Avians and myself, a lot of it can be of a very personal nature of, I'm not being forgiving or loving enough. I'm allowing certain people out there, trolls or certain people, to affect me emotionally and get me off of a path that I should be on. Or I am talking about to people about they need to be on a high vibration diet, and I'm eating donuts.
Yeah, I hear you there. Well, any negative, anything negative out there, whatever it is, it doesn't even matter. Ignore it. Because if you at any point, and David will certainly share this advice too, as soon as you open your eyes and you read or hear something negative, you open up your ears, now you've got baggage hanging off of you. And you're trying to think about how to respond to something negative. And that, and
you're very correct.
Yep, yep. And now you've been steered off of the road, and somebody has won. Yeah, ignore all exactly. of that crap. Yeah, don't.
And David's been doing this for a long time, and you've been doing this for a long time. And this is a lot of this is very new to me, and a lot of the very personal attacks, very obvious disinformation, and all kinds of stuff that happens. It's hard. It was hard for me not to take personally, but you know. I was, and it was starting to affect what I was supposed to be doing, and, you know, I was taken aside and talked to, and it's been a growth process for me spiritually and emotionally, and, you know, because we're all basically spiritual and emotional children. Even the wisest of us, and we've you know this has been the last 4 or 5 months has been a crash course in not only how different researchers and the public how they receive and react to information for me. It's been a crash course, but it's also been a growing experience, and I'm not really a preacher, but you know, we talked earlier about you got to practice what you preach.
Yeah, that's right.
And if I'm out talking about you've got to be more loving and forgiving, and I'm holding these grudges.
You've got to be more loving and forgiving. That's it.
Yeah, I'm setting myself up for some karmic road bumps.
That's exactly right. Let me ask you this, Corey, and we're going to be okay. This is what we're going to do, David and Corey. I'm going to ask you one more question in 5 minutes at the bottom of the hour. One last break. When we come back, I have got a whole load of questions that have come in. During the show, and we'll get to all of those, and those will be really fast. Bang, 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 bang. We'll just fly through those. Now, how does the communication happen? In other words, after this show ends, right, in the next half hour, can you make contact and tell them about this show, for instance? I'm not saying that because of ego. I'm just saying, could that communication happen that quickly and that easily?
They're extremely aware of what's going on, so I don't have to tell them anything. There have been so many times to when I've been brought before them, and then I start to give them a report, and a hand goes up. They already know. They already know it all, and they begin to communicate with me telepathically.
So how does that happen? Do you have to, tell me, how does it happen? Are you asleep? Are you awake? Is it the middle of the day? Is it as easy as picking up a cell phone? You know, how does the communication happen? How do you initiate it?
Well, I don't have to initiate communication. I wouldn't call them omniscient, but they are aware. I mean, if I have something going on and I need to communicate with them, they establish communication.
That's interesting. And can you tell, and just let me enjoy this. I want to live this through you. Okay, so please tell me, is it a feeling that happens? Do you know it's about to happen? Does the temperature change in the room? Do you change physically? You know, do you know it's about to happen?
Well, it's happened. There's in several different ways. Usually after I have a meeting with the Secret Space Program Alliance Council, I will then go meet with them afterwards. And Gonzalez will contact me and let me know when one of those meetings is going to occur. So then I know that I'm about to have a meeting with the blue avians. I've been sitting here in my living room and they'll appear in the living room. And I'll be sitting here with my dog, and, you know, my dog just kind of jumps, and I look, and there one is. And that actually just happened the one time here in my living room. But there, one of the beings is an actual orb being, and an orb, usually the size of a golf ball to a size of a baseball, will zip through my wall or through my ceiling and start zigzagging through the room. And at that point, I'll stand up, get dressed, or you know, depending on the situation, and indicate mentally that I'm ready. And then this sphere, little orb, comes and stops about 18 inches from my chest. And then in the blink of an eye, it expands to where I'm inside of it. And I am floating directly in the middle, inside of it. And then, now at its new and large size, it will shoot through the ceiling, and instantaneously I will be in one of the giant spheres out in space, where I will meet either one or three of the blue avians.
What do you see, Corey? We've got about 1 minute before we hit the break. What is it that you see when that happens? Do you see Earth disappear, and, you know, at your
no.
feet? Are you watching? Can you see the stars?
No. Well, when I'm in the sphere, I can. But when that I'm picked up in the little orb, it when it takes off, there is this feeling of time and space kind of smearing, kind of a just a real quick smear kind of that's the best way I can describe it. It just lasts for a split second, and then I'm there.
Motion sickness? Do you have any pain in your body, anything like that?
A slight bit of motion, at the very split, a split second of motion, in that blur of a second, you feel this, you feel like you're being smeared. You know, like you draw off a pencil and you brush your hand across it, how it smears.
I got smeared on Saturday in Glendale, but that's a whole nother story. hey guys, let's take a break. Let's do it. And then when we come back, we've got a boatload of questions, and they are all good. This is Fade to Black, and I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I almost said I've lost audio. Hey, David, tonight our audio's been good, brother.
I'm happy for that.
Yeah, they left us alone. This is Fade to Black. Corey
so
Good.
Fun.
Yeah, right. Corey Good and David Wilcock. We'll be back right after this. Stay with us. I'm going to go to Twitter and email, and I'm going to get through as many questions as I can in the next few minutes. Guys, are you still there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to do these at random in no particular order. Ask Corey about the body drop-off. Where are they coming from? What is that, Corey?
It's one of the more disturbing aspects. There are what are known as body drops that occur. A lot of them are in national parks and other isolated areas. A lot of park rangers know about this. A lot of these are federal employees that are deferred to these areas, but there are areas that different ET groups that come in and abduct human beings. There are that have experiments that go wrong or utilize different parts of human beings for different things, and the humans perish. They drop the bodies. It's a dumping, like dumping areas where they dump, like what a serial killer would do. These are areas that are seem to be used by different groups, but they're common areas spread out across the planet. And a lot of the times, these bodies are dropped from high altitude.
You said
the federal agencies, they go in there, they investigate it, keep it quiet, clean up the situation, and then they do not inform the families of that they found bodies, and they do not return the bodies back to the families.
That's totally disturbing.
Yes, it is.
This is from email. Based on your experiences and your knowledge, what needs to happen before ETs are here on Earth openly interacting publicly? Is there something that we need to do? Is there a next step?
Well, first, there's going to have to be a full disclosure event that's going to involve a massive data dump with all kinds of information like Edward Snowden and all of these super hacks that have occurred recently where lots of data has been gathered about crimes against humanity. We're going to have to get through all of these dark parts of our past before we can move forward. There's going to be some darkness ahead before we see the light at the end of the tunnel, and there's going to be some upsetting and disturbing information to come out that we're going to have to deal with as a collective group.
Ask Corey about what kinds of human-like ETs that you have seen.
The human-like groups in this Federation group, there was the one that I've talked about. When I say olive green, I mean green, and they look like olive green colored, with jet black hair beings. There's beings with just about every skin color you can think of pastels and sizes. There's this one that has been referred to as the Shining Ones, that they have white glistening skin, almost as if they have some liquid on their skin, and they have their hair looks like cotton. It's white, and their eyes are red and emanate a light. They emanate some sort of luminescence.
But they look totally human, 10 fingers, 10 toes. Same
right.
Body structure, just totally different
color.
So they couldn't. They couldn't.
Different sizes.
They couldn't walk down a street in Dallas.
No, not these. No,
I got you.
But there are some groups that look so similar that they could walk around amongst us, and you would think that they are just odd-looking humans, and unless you just really, most people are so caught up in their own world, they probably wouldn't even notice them.
And is that going on right now, today?
Well, yes. One of the programs I was involved in was an intercept and interrogation program, to where the secret space programs were intercepting beings that were integrating into human society and pretending to be us as part of their own experiments, and they were here not unauthorized, and they were being picked up and taken and interrogated.
This question is for David. David, Bob Dean said 2 years ago that some really special, weird secret happened in Mexico. Do you know anything about this?
No.
Okay, moving on. For Corey, yeah, this is like the speed round. Bam, bam, bam. For Corey, what happened to the family on Mars? Were they ever rescued? I remember that. Were they ever rescued?
No.
Okay, wow. Okay, lightning answers with lightning questions. Let's see. I'm reading these in real time, so just stay with me. What is currently happening is letting disclosure get into the minds of the awakened. So, when the data dump happens, how can we assist?
Well, one of the things that's pretty much been communicated to me through the Secret Space Program Alliance is that there's going to be, it's going to take some major events like a major global economic meltdown and then people to get extremely ticked off and realize that there's been a giant Ponzi scheme from a giant criminal organization that has caused this to happen. And then they're going to be open to receiving more information about these groups. And then at that point, there will be these large data dumps of all of this information, of all these crimes against humanity they've done, and also having to do with the extraterrestrial part of the equation. And at that point, all of the sleeping masses are going to be heading to get as much Xanax as they can, and they're going to be freaking out and dealing with it cold turkey. And those of us who have, no matter what our belief system is within the ufology, we are more awakened and...
Ooh, I think I just lost Corey. Corey,
I'm still here.
Ed, David, I think we lost Corey.
That sucks.
And hold on here. That was bizarre. That was mid-sentence, too.
I think he's on a Bluetooth headset, and it's possible that since he just bought it, it might have run out of battery, so he might need to charge it.
Okay. Let's see here. Corey, are you there? Okay. I think he can hear us. Corey, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Okay, now we got you. Okay.
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 Sorry.
That's quite all right. Where were we, or should we move on to another question?
I forgot where I was.
Very good. And let's just move on. Ask Corey about the black goo.
Mm. Yeah, the black goo is something that I saw studied on the research vessel and also read about in the smart glass pad. They would run high EM fields over it and magnetic fields, and it kind of like metal particles would pop up out of it. And what it is a artificial intelligence nanite technology.
And what would it? Okay, what would it be used for?
It apparently it was taken by another extraterrestrial group at some point and put either. I'm trying to. This is me remembering 20 years ago reading off this smart glass pad. It was put under the ocean or somewhere to keep it dormant, but it is invasive to biological beings such as ourselves. It would get in through your pores or your eyes, ears, nose, and mouth, and compromise your first your cellular structure and then your mind and basically take you over.
For David, what do the Blue Avians expect from those who are bestowed with superhuman abilities?
Well, that hasn't happened yet. The ascension thing that this all seems to be leading up to did happen 160,000 times in Tibet, documented. So those people transitioned into a rainbow body, as it's called, and gave up their physical bodies. It appears that since if you hit our DNA with this energy, that the people that then splice that DNA into their bodies, these ETs, will get superpowers, but that is also going to happen to us. And one of the things that I've heard from other insiders that Corey has confirmed is that many of the negative ETs are extremely terrified about us successfully going through this quantum leap in our evolution because we will become much more powerful than they are. And the irony is that people online who tend to be the critics and the haters, they think that the way we're going to solve this problem with the cabal is by aiming a gun at them and shooting them. But look, they're already too powerful for any successful resistance of a violent nature to ever exist. You cannot shoot them. You cannot blow them up. This is a spiritual problem with a spiritual solution. The real power that we have is in the meditation effect, which is documented. 7,000 people get together, meditate under one roof, and the global crime and terrorism index decreases by 72%. Now, the negative groups, the cabal, uses this power against us by doing what they call imagination will. They seed the imagination with the thought forms of what they want to create, and then they fire those thought forms with false flag terrorism and deliberate provocations to then try to steer us into what they've helped us to visualize. So one of the obvious examples is there's, God knows, 200, 300 Hollywood blockbusters about alien invasion, hardly any positive ET movies. What are they doing? They were planning on using these assets they have in the solar system to stage a mock alien invasion as a pretext for global martial law and control. And the good guy ETs have stopped them from doing this and are making sure that we will continue to be awakened globally at a speed that we can handle, with the eventual goal of us awakening these dormant potentials that are stored in our DNA. And once those dormant potentials awaken, we will have telekinesis, telepathy, levitation, time travel, materialization, all of this stuff that seems like the greatest miracles that you read Jesus doing in the Bible.
Right.
John 14:12, Jesus said, as I do these things, so shall you do them, and greater things.
Right.
So that is apparently what is coming our way.
Is the, you know, when you have the cabal and the Illuminati, the New World Order, all of that full of hate and no morals, right? That's what drives them. Is that the ultimate weapon against them? Is, you know, I hate to be so naive, but is it love and holding hands and running through the forest throwing flowers at each other? Is
well, not exactly,
but you understand what I'm saying.
Sure. One of the things that I have learned about initiation, and initiation is a process that leads to spiritual enlightenment, and I am not enlightened, but I am certainly a student of enlightenment. And I practice enlightenment in my life and try to aspire to greater enlightenment. That initiation process for me has involved facing the most terrifying, terrifying fear over and over and over and over again, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, fear shoved in my face. And I had dreams where this weird lady that had like a turban on and, you know, all this funny flowing sashes and crystal ball is shoving a snake, a poisonous snake in my face and actually shoving the snake against my skin and said, "We're going to keep doing this until you're no longer afraid of this snake." And I was, you know, shaking with fear. And what I can say is that enlightenment is not just about being Mr. Rogers and holding hands and singing Kumbaya. If you are an enlightened being, which again, I'm not saying that I am, I have a lot of work to do. When you get to that point, none of the negative emotions affect you. You can be offered a situation that would normally cause people fear and you will not feel afraid. You be offered a situation that will make people angry, you do not feel anger. You will be offered a situation that makes people sad, you do not feel sadness. What happens is you stay in a balanced, loving, and peaceful place. How does that integrate with standing up to something like what they call the Illuminati? A lot of people call it the Illuminati. We are not saying that the Illuminati should just roll us over and we're going to be, you know, cannon fodder and wheels under the tank. But we're saying healthy boundaries. You don't want to hate them. You don't want to treat them as if they were despicable slime that is not worthy of your love and appreciation. Ultimately, we're all from the same source. We're all from one mind. That is true. And each of us holographically in our own lives are being given challenges today. You probably had one happen today. You listening, I'm talking to you personally now. Mm-hmm. You probably had something today happen to you where you had to stand up to negativity in your own life, draw boundaries, and say, enough is enough. I am not going to let you do this anymore. And the key is to do that lovingly and with respect for the person who you are drawing the boundaries with. And that's what we have to do as a planet. So that's a very big difference from just saying that we're going to hum this away.
Are you, both of you, and we'll go ahead and wrap on this. Two questions. One, when is the ascension with the WaveX? One. And two, are either of you scared?
Well, the WaveX, there's constantly energy coming from the center of the galaxy. And what is occurring now is our local star cluster and solar system is moving into a part of the galaxy, this giant torsion field that is our galaxy. We are rotating into a part of our galaxy that is of a higher energy, and there are high energy clouds that we've observed and have been reported in the news since the 70s going back that we are heading into. So it's not just this giant wet.
Jimmy, you're not supposed to do bonkets on the air, buddy.
You caught that?
Not yeah. Just this giant X wave coming from the center of the galaxy. There are other aspects to this. And, you know, there are things that I battle with that, you know, do cause fear. But it's not whether you are afraid or not. It's what you do with that fear and how you overcome that fear. And succumbing to fear is a problem. You grow through adversity. And if you confront your fears and you overcome your fears, then you grow.
David, are you scared?
You know what? If I die, I die. And I like to quote Abraham Lincoln in saying, I would rather die once at the hands of an assassin than die every day in fear of assassination. So you know what? Come and get me. I'm ready. You guys want to take me out? Take me out. I don't need to be here. I'm just doing this because it's my job and I'm supposed to be here. These higher beings want me to keep doing this with all the crap that we have to go through. They're going to keep me here. But I'm also fully in acceptance of leaving. I don't need to be here. You know, and people online, they do not understand these haters. Oh, David is making money. Look at this. Okay.
Hey, David, let's address that. You know what's really funny? Because I got a few emails about this, too, leading up to this show over the past week. Check this out. Hey, David, have I paid you to come on this show?
No, dude. Oh,
have you paid me so you could come on this show? No.
Jesus Christ. No.
Exactly. And when people say those kinds of things, they just don't get it. You know, when I see the comments out there, you know, David does these huge seminars. David isn't driving a Lamborghini. When they say that about us or this show or people, authors that are out there writing books and stuff, that is not the case. And those are people that are just saying stuff because, David, you matter. Corey, because you matter. And never forget that. That negative vibe out there is there to bring you down. And
even working in Ancient Aliens, when I first started, in the first few seasons I did that show, the pay was so small that it was basically me giving it to them for free. And even now, if I told you the number, it is so low that people would literally laugh in my face and think I must be lying.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't need to tell me because you know I know. So, yeah, and you're absolutely right. All of that stuff is done because you want to share information. It is not there because you need to pay your mortgage. And people need to really, really understand that and come to grips with that because they just don't get it. And that kind of negativity we all put up with. So there you go. Let's just put that to bed right now. Hey, guys, I had fun. How are you guys doing? You good?
I'm feeling good,
yeah.
Jimmy.
Yeah. I'm feeling kind of clean.
I would like to mention that there is so much more that we're covering on the Gaiam series that we're doing. The first two episodes are free. People can go and watch. As a matter of fact, they've got if you go to blueavians.com. It will send you to a link that you can watch the first two episodes. If you do decide to sign up and watch the other episodes, I mean, we get just a very tiny little bit for every person that signs up. I mean, it's just a tiny little bit. We were speaking about making money, as long as we're living under this Babylonian money magic system and, you have a family to feed and you've given up a six-figure salary, you got to find a way to feed, your kids a little bit. No one's getting rich here and no one's even getting comfortable here.
It's about spreading the word and information. That's what it's about.
Let me just say a couple things too. First of all, the spelling of that is BLUEAVIANS.com. And the show with Corey, I think we're up to 7 or 8 episodes now that people can watch. We also have, there's 2 episodes of George Norrie now up interviewing Corey, or there's going to be the second one tomorrow, I guess, or whenever, about the MyLab program and about the intergalactic slave trade, which is extremely fascinating, highly recommended. And there's over 130 episodes of my own show where I talk extensively about the scientific data that proves all this stuff. All the people that say I have no evidence obviously are not watching that show. And all that's available under the one price that everybody pays. And it is basically, for both Corey and me, it's our sole source of income. And we make enough to pay our basic bills and have food, but that's about it.
Hey, thank you, guys. All of the links are at jimmychurchradio.com. Everything is up in Twitter, Divine Cosmos, and blueavians.com. Thank you so much, guys. I can't wait for part 2.
Thank you, Jimmy. Appreciate it.
Have a great rest of your evening. Hey, David, we got dinner next week. Don't forget. I'll talk to you guys.
How much did you pay me for that?
Jerry's Deli, brother. I'll talk to you guys.
All right.
Have a good night.
Later.